From Swarthmore College.
From Swarthmore College, this is...
This is...
This is...
This is War News Radio.
This week on War News Radio, reporter Anna Weber takes a comparative look at the widespread crisis of femicide in Latin America. Recent protests across the region have sparked new media coverage and legislation in an attempt to combat gender discrimination. Anna interviewed two sexual harassment prevention organizations, one in Peru and one in Argentina, in order to learn their different methods to raise sexual harassment awareness.
More than 100 million women are missing from the globe today. From one-child policies to sexual harassment to unequal health treatment to lack of education, women simply vanish in places with unequal gender status. The point is, violence is not always visible, nor does it always explode in one spectacular moment. This is a War News Radio podcast where we take a comparative look at the slow violence of gender discrimination. We will focus on two countries in Latin America, Argentina and Peru, where we spoke with two sexual violence prevention organizations. These two countries have different and unique cultural norms. However, the broader Latin American region is home to the largest rate of femicide in the world, according to a 2012 Small Arms survey. A note to mention, when anyone says the gender category women in this podcast, we mean to denote anyone who identifies as a woman or anyone who identifies in a non-binary category. Let's take a look at how Argentina and Peru are rendering sexual violence visible in their specific communities. A representative for Acción Respeto, which translates to respectful action, Juliana Santa Rosa Cobos lives in Argentina. Juliana's home country has a most poignant collective memory of sexual violence. From 1976 to 1983, during the so-called National Reorganization Process, informally known as the Dirty Wars, 30,000 people were killed, tortured, or forcibly disappeared, according to official estimates. Sexual violence was used as a major part of torture practices. However, while charges of torture and murder have been brought, there has been no mention of charges for sex crimes committed. By establishing a hierarchy of crimes against humanity, sexual violence against men and women fell through the cracks. Today, the memory of sex crimes is still imbued in a fog, and it is still incredibly dangerous to live as a woman in Argentina. According to La Casa del Encuentro, a women's rights organization in Buenos Aires, around 1,800 women were murdered in Argentina because of their gender between 2008 and 2014. There were 77 femicides in 2014 alone, the group reported. So what are people doing about this violence? Juliana delineates one Argentinian organization's objectives.
We formed this group about 2 years ago because we saw the need of tackling the issue of street harassment here in Argentina. And so we began making campaigns in public spaces, such as giving out flyers. Mostly street intervention to get people acquainted with the idea of sexual harassment and street harassment in particular, because we noticed that it was a problem affecting most women and no one was talking about it. So we wanted to make sure that people knew about it and that it was in the public agenda. That's why we talked with politicians, and we had, last year, we had a major breakthrough getting a bill of law to make street harassment a crime. We call it a denuncia. You go to the police and they take your statement and that becomes, it can be penalized.
Peru has a different history when it comes to sexual violence. The country experienced an internal conflict between the insurgent group Sendero Luminoso and the army between 1980 and 2000, which produced an estimated 69,280 deaths and disappearances, 80% of which were young men of indigenous descent. The 20-year conflict also harbored physical and sexual violence. Soldiers have suggested that women asked for it because of their racial background. Today, some women report that their husbands have beaten them in retaliation for their perceived infidelity while imprisoned by armed factions. Peru's women did not ask to be raped and beaten, not before, during, or after war. Nevertheless, little has been done to address the situation, and perhaps consequently, post-war sexual and domestic violence is extremely high and largely unpunished in Peru. More than half of all Peruvian women over the age of 15 say they have suffered sexual or physical violence by men during their lifetime, one of the world's highest rates. War News Radio spoke to an organization in Peru named Paremos el Acoso Callejero, translated as Let's Stop Street Harassment. Adriana Lorenzo tells us the goals of this organization.
We are the first observatory of street harassment in Latin America. We work basically giving talks. We also do some training. For example, now we're going to do a campaign for doing a special activity in the train station. Because, as you know, we have one of the most dangerous transportation for women in the world. We are the only country in Latin America that has this law against street harassment. So, as you can see, we have already done some work about that, but there's still a lot of things to do. So that's our those were our main objectives.
A point of similarity in both Juliana and Adriana's responses was the importance of a public agenda. The women explain how written statements of law acknowledge the existence and the reprehensibility of street harassment. However, any legal reform invokes the question of implementation. There may always be a possible gap between the written law and actual life. So what does it mean to have written law forbidding sexual harassment? Truly, does it mean anything without implementation? Furthermore, how do we know that women are well-versed in the law? These are all questions I asked Juliana and Adriana when we talked about their similar legal work.
As the head of the country, are sending out the message that this kind of behavior won't be accepted. So that's the main importance of the law. Regardless of the fine, which wouldn't go to the person who is being harassed, by the way, would go to the Women's Council, so they can educate and implement policies on gender violence. I mean, it wouldn't be a mean for the person who is being harassed to make easy money, so to speak. That aside, which is very important because then street harassment will be a figure in the penal code, the importance relies mostly on the message that you're giving to the population. You're saying this kind of behavior won't be accepted. You will be punished because this is wrong. So that's the main core of the law.
More than for doing like a formal complaint, I think it has to work for empower women, you know. When you walk on the street or when you travel in a public transport, you feel a little bit more protected knowing that there is a law that protects you.
Whether in legal code or layman's terms, putting words to sexual harassment is not an easy endeavor. Sometimes language fails women and they turn to primordial screams, cries, or even silence. I interviewed these two phenomenal women who spend their lives speaking out against gender violence. But as I listened to their courage, I wondered if the endeavor to give words to violence is truly a woman's job. When women write laws, when Juliana and Adriana give trainings, when survivors speak out, their words may bring life to their trauma once again. They may experience re-traumatization. So what is more important, a historical or legal documentation of sex crimes, or the maintenance of women's right to silence?
Well, I want to put it as an obligation, but I would say that it helps the healing process. I mean, talking about it, even with friends and family, and expressing what happened to you is a way of making it even more real, and sharing it can help you with the healing. Plus, it makes you stronger, psychologically speaking, so then you can go after the person that hurt you. Because what happens in a lot of cases is that the aggressor keeps doing it because he has impunity, because he hasn't gone to jail, because he just hasn't paid for what he's done. Because people are just so used to it that we sometimes fail to see the harm it does. So when a person speaks, when a person expresses him or herself, you begin the healing process, and then you make yourself stronger, and then you can receive some sort of justice and redress for what happened to you. But I think it's also important not to judge those who can't speak up or those who can't tell others what happened, because we can't judge how a person deals with pain or with trauma and suffering overall.
In Juliana's response, she touched upon one of the most contorted rationales behind sexual violence, that it is the woman's fault. The perception that a miniskirt or low-cut t-shirt, being alone at a party, or not watching a drink carefully are all reasons for sexual assault takes the blame off of the perpetrator and reinstates it onto the body of the survivor. Furthermore, victim blaming normalizes the existence of sexual harassment. People often take for granted that, quote, this is the world we live in, or, quote, women will always be victim to sexual harassment, and therefore women should take certain precautions. Adriana and Juliana had a few responses to the victim blaming myth.
They also think that because you are pretty, you know, you are expected to be harassed. We also explain that, first, that beauty is a social construction, so that what is beautiful for one person is not going to be beautiful to the other. And at the end, the street harassment is not about complaining to someone.
I'm not responsible for getting murdered. You're responsible for murdering me. And I can't believe that we still have to make this point, because it sounds so primal. I mean, why should I be blamed for being killed, and why should the responsibility be placed on me? Why should I be the one who has to keep safe? No, you should just not murder me. I think this case, this sad case, it's a perfect example of gender violence and of how rape culture works, stating that it's normal for these things to happen, so we should be the ones on the lookout. I'm sorry, but no, this is not how it's supposed to be. We should stop making excuses and saying this was bound to happen. No, this shouldn't be normal. This shouldn't be the rule.
The two organizations War News Radio interviewed exist in the major cities of Argentina and Peru. These urban areas can be especially dangerous for women due to the transportation systems that many people must use in order to navigate cities. A poll released today by the Thomson Reuters Foundation in partnership with YouGov revealed that 6 in every 10 women reported being physically assaulted on buses and trains in big cities in Latin America. As urban sexual harassment seems like a monumental problem, War News Radio also learned of rural sex crimes. Most reported cases of sexual violence are in urban areas, and the rural stories are often left untold. Access to women-rooted ideologies like feminism is even less likely in rural areas. further delimiting the fact that women's bodies and stories should be inherently respected. In Peru specifically, one-third of the entire population lives in Lima. Adriana explains the difficulty of advancing sexual harassment prevention in rural areas.
Okay, so here is like a very interesting subject because sometimes in other areas in Peru, like harassment, is like actually a way of searching. It happens a lot in the islands, for example. Like it's very complicated to define to define what harassment and what actually a way of searching. So how do you go to a rural, to an indigenous area, and you try to teach women, girls, and you start explaining that what's harassment, what to do, blah blah blah. I think I before going to rural areas, indigenous areas, first we need to learn more about their dynamics.
Sexual assault takes on different cultural, social, political, and historical norms throughout Latin America, as we can tell between the cases of Argentina and Peru. But there are broad norms that devalue sexual harassment as a crime and, in extension, the bodies upon which this harassment is inflicted. Moving towards the future, Adriana explains the importance of sexual education in Peru.
First, from the government, education. They are already in public education, at least. There are 12 lessons about gender. I think that's the key, you know, for having more respectful and tolerant people, not only on gender violence, also for being more tolerant about gender difference.
Juliana also describes individual steps any person can take in order to create a safer environment for everyone. She speaks of the importance of realization. Realize the privilege you have as a man or a woman in your society.
Well, first of all, I mean, don't harass. That would be the first. I mean, don't harass women, don't harass men, don't harass anyone. Don't comment on someone who hasn't asked for your specific opinion. And also step in. I mean, when you're watching, when you're in the presence of a situation that can be interpreted as street harassment, do something about it. I mean, you can offer help to the person who is being harassed, and you can also lash back against the aggressor in a way that's also safe for you. I mean, I don't want you to put yourself at risk, and I won't want you to get hurt for stepping in a situation of harassment, but we do encourage the intervention of third parties. I mean, if you're watching someone being harassed, then do something about it. Tell the harasser that he's wrong, because we can link this to what we said earlier about impunity. They do this, they continue to do this, because no one tells them that it's wrong and that they shouldn't. But the more people tell them, maybe they can incorporate the message themselves and stop doing it.
From their personal and historical stories, I cannot thank Juliana and Adriana enough for their anti-gender violence work. These women continue to change the framework of viewing women as solely victims into viewing women as strong and courageous survivors. To be vulnerable is not the same as to be victim. For War News Radio, I'm Anna Weber.
For more information, check out our website at warnewsradio.org. For War News Radio, I'm Amber Sheth.